We're talking all things body image in pregnancy and postpartum this week with special guest Dr. Sarah Kelly, naturopathic doctor and women's reproductive health expert. The body changes that come with building and raising children are largely untalked about and almost considered taboo. There's immense pressure to snap back to your old body, one without any marks or signs of life. And we're here to destroy that notion and deeply discuss the work that many women must go through to find body neutrality and self-love after making babies. For those with history of disordered eating, these changes can be incredibly overwhelming, and Dr. Sarah guides us through how she talks with patients to emphasize the importance of eating more to become fertile, how the weight gain is protective of breast milk supplies, and how she leads women through reparenting exercises to heal the hurt inner child aspect of themselves where body awareness and image issues began to take hold in their lives. The goal is to find radical self-love for the amazing work our bodies are doing to build a family and bring forth life.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about.
And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Okay, well, welcome to the show, Dr. Sarah. And before we get going with our show, I just wanted to introduce you to our listeners and give them a little bit about you. So Dr. Sarah is a naturopathic doctor based out of Southern California. She is extremely passionate about women's health, specifically in regards to mental health and hormone dysregulation. Perfect for this podcast. She particularly loves women, helping women regain regular menstrual cycles after losing them due to a history of disordered eating or from them being on the birth control pill. So thankfully, there are more than just Dr. Leah doing this work, because this is such a problem with, you know, women getting off the birth control pill and having a slew of issues that were really never addressed prior to them getting on the pill. And so, you know, it's such important work. It's so exciting. And for us as well, this is capturing all of those women, you know, before they're getting pregnant and helping them with these ideas. So anyways, what we're going to talk about today, which is really exciting, is the idea of how our body changes throughout pregnancy and postpartum. And this can be a very, very tough topic and reality, especially in this world where we're meant to be thin all the time and whatever. And we've always talked about on this podcast as well, it feels like sometimes as women, we can never fulfill society's rules, whatever it is. We're too fat, we're too thin. We're too loud, we're too quiet, we're too bossy,
too crude,
we're too sexual. You're a slut because you like to have sex. It's like, just shut up, everybody. So we're going to tell you to shut up this podcast. I'm just kidding. But we're going to talk about body image and pregnancy. And so go ahead and start telling us about what are some of the things that can come up and how did you specifically get interested in this topic yourself as well?
Yeah. So I got interested in this topic because most of the girls I treat, typically like 20 to 35 year old women, a lot of them find my practice because they struggle with anxiety and depression, and then also disordered eating and irregular menstrual cycles. So when we heal their menstrual cycles and now they're in a place where they want to get pregnant, so their fertility is amazing. They still have some underlying thoughts around self-esteem and their self-image come up. So I might see this way more often than your average practitioner, since I am catching the patients that do have a history of body image and disordered eating.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. That's why you're an expert on this topic and can help shed some light here, which is something that nobody is, I feel like there's not that much talk about this.
Yeah, it's really important. I think the disordered eating, in my regard, even at least, kind of you forget about it moving into pregnancy, maybe thinking that that just goes away when you're not a teenager, or when, you know, something.
But when really it can be triggered so badly.
Much. Yeah. Yes. And if you aren't someone who's dealing with that, you might not be cognizant that it's someone's maybe silently struggling with that. And so I'm so glad that you're here to talk about this in regards to pregnancy and postpartum.
And also maybe a reason why somebody is really afraid of becoming pregnant in the first place.
Yeah. Which is something new to me that I didn't really think about, because I work in a practice where everyone's desperate to become pregnant. We have interacted with a few people recently who are actually very afraid to become pregnant for the body image issue, which I thought was so interesting. And so tell us just kind of what you kind of see in regards to what people are kind of having anxiety about or struggling with.
Yeah. The first main thing is oh my God, I have to eat more food. Like you've now transitioned me from intermittent fasting and having one meal a day and being vegan. And now you're asking me to eat 120 grams of protein and have a lot more fats and have a lot more carbs because yes. now I'm growing a little baby. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of women struggle with the idea of we already increased their caloric intake so much to get them fertile. Yes. And now we have to take it a step further. So the mindset around the fear of, if I eat too much, am I going to gain too much weight? Oh, so that's the first hurdle we gotta jump
and,
over.
And you know, like as you're in early pregnancy, something that can be tough is that before it's a bump, before it looks like a bump, it's sometimes just overall weight gain.
Yeah.
And that can be really tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They like, Dr. Sarah, I just like, I ate too many snacks or I feel really bloated. And
yes. Yeah.
So that's one hurdle. Another hurdle is being afraid of stretch marks coming on. And a lot of women that are fitness instructors and teach yoga and they want their body to look like it does before pregnancy, after pregnancy, when they step back in the world. Because again, the self-esteem, the self-confidence, their exterior, they're not comfortable with it. And that's about to change a ton, as will be, you know, who are moms.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. No, it does. And, you know, me being someone who never really has struggled with that, it is something that I feel just like with libido, maybe people don't realize unless they struggle with it. Like unless you're in that realm, it mm-hmm. might not be an all-consuming thought that maybe mm-hmm. some of your patients and clients have. So these are things that, are they something that has prevented your patients from wanting to become pregnant, or once they become pregnant, they have these panic realizations?
It's almost like it has been for the most part, once they get pregnant, we now revert back to how we were when we had the low self-confidence and self-esteem.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you say to them?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we work on is inner child healing. An inner child work.
Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, can you tell us a little bit about the background of just general inner child work, that idea, or reparenting, or any of these kinds of topics in the name?
Yeah, so in Cliff Notes version, inner child work is when you imagine yourself being like 5, 6, 7 years old, and if you're dealing with a difficult emotion like fear or anxiousness or low self-compassion, you imagine you're talking to that younger version of yourself, and what kind of feedback would you want to give them? Because that inner child is the one that's acting up in those moments.
Oh, and so how in this case can an inner child be acting up now in a pregnant woman's experience?
So what I work on with my patients is taking them back to when their period first started, when they went through puberty, because typically you get bigger breasts, you get wider hips, you gain more weight. And then that's typically where the nervousness first starts during that drastic body change. Most likely those girls weren't supported enough, and they're witnessing their male counterparts get taller and more muscular and like look better. And as a female, we might be gaining more self-conscious. So I have them do inner child work with that like 12, 13, 14 version of themselves and think, what would you tell this girl in this moment?
Okay.
How to make their body
like thinking about them as almost a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not that you're just like Leah, like you, but like it is you. But basically, when we think of it as a stranger, we would never talk to someone like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would, love it. We would never go to a 12-year-old and be like, you are so fat. Like,
yeah.
Your hips are getting too wide.
And we wouldn't even think that, you know? So that's just so amazing and healing.
Can you give me like a little example of a transcript just in case somebody's having a bit of a hard time wrapping their mind around what this means?
Totally.
Tangibly?
Yeah. Yeah. So what we do, instead of jumping right to body positivity, we'll do body neutrality. So a lot of people talk about body positivity. I'm doing little air quotes. That can be really difficult for someone who feels really uncomfortable in their skin. So if
it's just like toxic positivity, like just love it.
Yeah. Just like,
and don't ever deal with the underlying factors of why you don't.
Yeah. Instead of going straight from, oh my God, my hips are growing or my boobs are getting bigger, or I feel more tired, we start just doing affirming thoughts. So instead of looking at your legs and be like, gosh, I hate the cellulite, saying things like, I'm grateful my legs are walking for me today.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to say
they're beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. I see. It's a reframe of body gratitude.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And it can take so much time to rewire those thought processes to go from all negative, yada, yada, yada all day long to now just being like at neutral and at peace with your thoughts.
Okay.
Wow.
So then once they're in a good place. And is this through like journaling, meditations, anything?
Yeah. Journaling, catching yourself, talking with it about it with a therapist.
And then once they get to this point where they're pretty good with this body neutrality, then we're working on
self-love.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what is that? Like, I feel like self-love is thrown around a lot as a concept, like hashtag self-love, but what does that really mean? And how does someone love themselves?
Yeah.
And I love as a doctor that you're discussing this.
Yeah.
Probably no other person's doctor has discussed self-love with them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My goal with my patients, we do a scale of 0 to 100. I ask them what percentage of your day was spent having inner peace, meaning how much throughout the day were you at peace with what was going on with your thoughts, with your health, with your community? And they'll grade it 40%, 10%, 90%. And then we ask, what is preventing you from having inner peace? So we can figure out what is this thing. And so I don't think that we will ever have 100% radical self-love. There's always parts of ourselves that we're trying to work on, but the goal is to have complete inner peace and the enjoyment of being in our own body, mentally, emotionally, physically. I heard Byron Katie, she's amazing. If anybody wants to read her book, it's called Loving What Is, but she said on a podcast, would you rather have a beautiful, flexible body, or would you rather your thoughts about your body to be beautiful, flexible, and healthy?
Oh, I love that.
I know.
Because sometimes people do have, you know, outwardly physically presenting beautiful, flexible, healthy bodies, but their mental, emotional experience is still very self-critical. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean, and then their overall experience of life then is going to be through this more overall net negative lens. Then if you can have this mental peace about it.
So then what kind of other things do you bring up as far as finding peace in pregnancy?
So you said that you brought them back to some inner child work. What's the next step after that?
So if we're still feeling stuck, we do a little bit of a value check. I ask my patients, when you think about all the people that you love, what is it that you love about them? Usually not even on the list is their figure, their hair, their eye color, you know, they're able to list out, I love that they're hardworking, or I love that they are compassionate, or I love that they're trustworthy. And so we realign their values and they can recognize, like, I like all of these things about people. I need to make sure I like all these things about myself. And it helps them have perspective too, that no one's looking at them and wishing they didn't have cellulite or wishing that they didn't gain 50 pounds in pregnancy. When you think back on like your aunts and how happy and funny they were, no one cared if they were larger, you know?
Right.
So a value recheck and bringing people back to the moment of recognizing that we are so much more than our looks and our physical form.
100%.
That's so beautiful. What a good practical like thing that we should all do.
And I'm sure that it's so life-changing sometimes for people. They need to be, I'm so glad that you start with some of the like trauma-based or maybe more like therapy ways with the inner child work, and then work on these other layers. Because if they never address that, we're not going to be able to get to these other other points or other sorts of thoughts in a layer by layer, step by step basis. Okay, so then walk us through like what's the typical next step, or how do you get there in pregnancy?
Okay, so in pregnancy, I love my patients to reflect back on their moms. I'm sure when you both were pregnant, you're thinking back about your childhood and your experience with your mother. Yes. So if there's still room for that self-compassion and inner peace to grow, I have them explore, what would you like, when you think of your mom, would you have ever wanted to change her physical body? Because the pressure we put on ourselves as women is what the media tells us to be, is like a 14-year-old boy who's so skinny, no hips. So my females that struggle with this, I make them reflect on all the people in their life, and you're never going to go back and think about your mom and say, oh, I wish that she was taller, or I wish she was skinnier, I wish she had more muscle. No, you're going to wish she had more free time with you, that she was happier with you, that she was more stress-free with you and more present. And that, again, will help them recognize how they can be the best mom for their kids is not to fit in a size 2 jeans.
Oh my gosh. I love that. You know, this actually just came up with a friend recently who was talking about, you know, she kind of had this hesitation about getting in the pool with her kids this summer, and has struggled with some body issues, and weight throughout her entire life. And she just decided, you know what, screw this. And she got in the pool and she's like, I'm going to be the pool mom. Like, I do not care. And she had so much fun with her kids and they were, and you know, she mentioned how she remembers her mom never getting in the pool because of not wanting to get into a bathing suit, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, our kids are not going to think about that or remember that. And I know that it's like important for us to not have like super sufferable experiences of feeling really self-conscious at the pool or whatever ourselves. And that is important, but we need to be doing the work prior so that we can be in our life and live our life and not have these things hold us back in this sort of a way. Oh, I love that. That's so great. Such a good point.
Amazing.
Especially in a culture where we are told to have a baby and then completely bounce back.
So tell us about that.
I know. So, I hate it. But society views pregnant women as just so beautiful and magical and the like best. Then the second the baby's out, it's something needs to be fixed. Vaginal canal needs to be tighter. Stomach needs to be smaller. You know, get your hair back, all this stuff, lose the weight.
Muscle tone, get back to the gym, have flat abs again.
And so I make my patients do a social media cleanse, remove anyone that they're following that talks about that or that's posting about before and afters or people who are alluding to different beauty standards that are unreachable. So that's step one.
Wow, that's a great practical step. Probably everyone should do.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the benefit and the curse of social media, because we were talking about this on a postpartum podcast, that these people who are back in the gym, CrossFit lifting 3 days postpartum, it's just not realistic. It's also not healthy. It's not in line with physiological postpartum healing. Our bodies are going through immense change and, you know, getting back into that pre-pregnancy state while also now being the life source of an infant and, you know, managing parenthood, motherhood in this modern society without all of our traditional support networks, sometimes going back to work early, hopefully not, but you know, sometimes people do. And it's like to add on this unrealistic expectation of bouncing back postpartum is just so insulting, honestly.
Okay. So you do a social media plan.
That's step one. And again, value check and recognizing that there's different health markers to be met outside of weight or BMI. So adequate breast milk supply, how's your mental health, how's your energy, any like physical pain that we want to focus on. And then eventually if weight needs to come off, weight's going to come off as a side effect to nourishing yourself and taking care of yourself. It's not our number one priority ever. And I shouldn't say ever. If I have someone with type 2 diabetes and I'm going to have a heart attack.
Well, and that's, but that's because of health parameters, right? Not because of body image as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And you're seeing that this is helping.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you.
That's so awesome. So what are some things that, you know, you would like to see shift in either our culture, or if you could like wave a magic wand and be like, I am now in charge of the world.
And leave our followers with some like good practical tips as well. Yeah. Like talk about like your wish for the world and then some of those like top tips if you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like wish for the world could be anything from like, you know, how we would approach things on an educational level, systemic level, personal level, like anything that you can imagine, because we're big on how can we change things.
Yeah. My wish for the world is for all young women to know that they are not put on this earth to be a certain physique.
Oh my gosh. Snaps the bat. That is not the point of life.
No. And I mean, we spend, when we're in those puberty years, so much of our mental headspace wishing that our body was different, when maybe 50% of our day is spent thinking like, I wish my arms were smaller. I wish I wasn't growing so much. I wish this, I wish that. We could be using all those hours in the day with stuff we're passionate about or doing things that we enjoy. Yeah,
exploring the world.
So it's just, there's just so much headspace that gets taken up with trying to compare ourselves with others.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
That makes me really sad for just, you know, puberty and middle school, high school is hard enough. And then that added layer, which is completely fabricated by the porn industry and media and supermodel type stuff, which, I mean, I know that things have been changing in recent years. You know, people are starting to embrace different body sizes, and also
Secret and Target have done a pretty good job about that.
Yeah. And just the diversity of different, you know, whether it's like skin conditions there or skin differences. And also the idea of, when we look back at ancient history and culture, the Venus, remember the Venus statue, which is this like very voluptuous, curvy, feminine figure of health and fertility with large breasts and large hips. And that, and where I feel like we're maybe starting to trend towards getting back into this space of understanding a feminine body and what is a natural state. And that actually being on the very, very thin end is not healthy. The skinny fat concept is coming out now.
Yeah.
And also the associations with being too thin, not having a period, not being able to get pregnant, and the tragedy of that as well, which is again all caused by media and culture.
Yeah. None of us were born and thinking our body was wrong.
Yeah. We were told that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And that's such a good point to think, you know, because you're coming at this lens from like more of a disordered eating pattern. And I know in certain context, like we're trying to do a lot of body inclusivity, even of larger size women. Just a quick question, this is a little side tangent. How do you find the happy medium between, we know there are certain risk factors with too large or potentially metabolically unhealthy situations, and then we know there are risk factors too thin, you know, kind of, but also not making someone feel they're too large or too thin. Like, how do we navigate that when we know there's, you know, like with fertility, we know obesity is a risk factor for issues and things like that, you know, type 2 diabetes. So how do you navigate that? It's something I'm not even really sure, you know, to how we have those conversations or even address it in the culture. It's a big question.
It is a huge question. I think in my practice, at least, it's, I always bring patients back to their why. So if a patient comes to see me and they're like, Dr. Sarah, I'm here because I want to lose 40 pounds because I'm overweight and I'm at risk for all these things. It's like, okay, well, why do you want to lose 40 pounds? And then if it's because, usually they'll say like, oh, I want to fit into this bathing suit. I'm like, okay, well, why do you want to fit into this bathing suit? And probably similar to your friend, because I want to be able to enjoy my time with my kids while I'm here.
Yeah.
So then their why is, I want to be able to have energy and no pain and be in a body I'm confident in to enjoy time with my kids. So it's not so much I'm trying to tackle this from a weight gain perspective, but more so allowing them to live out their dreams.
I love that.
And even for people who are too thin, they luckily have brain fog and they probably have headaches and hormonal concerns. So it's, again, bringing them back to recognizing that gaining weight is better for their health, and people who are too large, losing weight might be better for their health too, but doing it in a gentle dance and not so much chasing these metabolic markers of glucose or hemoglobin A1C or insulin, because it's really hard to follow through with a long-term goal if it's out of either hating yourself or if it's out of trying to chase a number. But it's much easier to do daily habits that are nourishing and caring for yourself when you have your why and your big purpose.
And then you're feeling that lived experience in your body of your life being better because you can do the things you want. That's really good.
So yes, there are two ends of the spectrum that we try and bring them back to the middle. And it's not so much because you should be this number or you should be X, Y, and Z, but more so it's because your quality of life is going to improve. Once they figure out what their quality of life is, we can adjust.
And maybe what their set point is. And that is where it comes back to, like, everybody's shape is different. And your set point, your happy medium, your, you know, you're in the most fertile, let's say. I use fertility for everything. Is like, to me, fertility is a sign of optimal health.
Yeah.
You know, that's where your body is in that like space where it feels the best.
Yes. And that's different for everyone, right?
It's very
like
different.
You said, and that's where people want to maybe get back to that in conjunction with a bunch of other Venn, you know, overlapping Venn diagrams of information and feeling. I love that.
That's so good.
Is there anything else that you have that you'd like to share with people, want them to know?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, this was so great.
So good.
I just have to say, again, I want to recognize that it's, you know, the times are changing when we have doctors out there that are talking with women about their hormonal issues and also bringing in like therapy into the appointments and discussing as if we didn't, this huge, you know, our brains, this huge organ in our bodies have nothing to do with the rest of our bodies mm-hmm. and the way that we live and our habits and our lifestyles and our thoughts, and how even just our thoughts and the causing of stress causes the inflammation, causes this hormonal imbalance. Like, just that one particular loop is not being addressed in any of these conventional systems.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating, but it's on the mend, and with more and more awareness, hopefully people will begin to demand it. And as we know, the way the markets move based on demand, that we can be getting this to be an integrated approach with every doctor so that every person can have this sort of care. Because it really matters.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And thanks for having me.
We will link all of your information. So if anybody wants to find out more about Dr. Sarah, how to work with her.
Where would you like people to follow or find you?
Either Instagram or TikTok. I'm the mindful doctor on both. So the period mindful period doctor.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
Yay. Thank you, ladies. Dr. Sarah.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for other women to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content.
We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.
Please remember that the ideas and views presented in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. Now go have a wonderful day. You've got this.